Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you didn't think we'd get through the day without another Kevin Durant controversy. Yesterday, it was Lana Rose, the former adult film star, telling stories about this man. One day later, it's Jason Williams. Jay Will.
Our old friend Jason Williams?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Jay, I got it. My bad. KJZ. My bad.
KJZ. Telling stories about this man. And though Kevin Durant has remained silent about the Lana Rhodes situation, he has called Jay Will a liar. Big Bet Bennett, since you're so good at solving Dateline episodes, we'll see if you can solve this J. Will, Kevin Durant controversy.
I bet I can.
Momentarily. But first, quickly, let's set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Myron Metcalf's going to join me. He, of course, works for ESPN. You hear him on the weekends right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I'll talk NBA with him. Myron Metcalf going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, we've officially reached the Larry Brown portion of the offseason.
Oh, I love this. That, summer is here.
That train is never late.
Let's go.
Whole pandemic, I was wondering when we'd get back to normal. Here we are, talking about Larry Brown in the offseason.
Feels good.
Does feel good. We'll spend a few minutes on that around 444. College baseball super regionals are now set. It's basically the Sweet 16 of college baseball. There are six SEC teams still alive. Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, and Arkansas. Should make for a fun weekend. We'll talk about that a little later on this hour. Memphis rapper Pooh Shiesty has been arrested for allegedly shooting a security guard in the ankle. You can't do that, Bennett.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
That's definitely illegal.
It's 100% illegal. It's a felony. I'll give you the details just before 5 o'clock. And happy birthday, Kanye West, musical genius and one-time goofy presidential candidate, turned 44 years old today. Got a sweet Instagram post from his estranged wife, Kimmy K. And it all happens on the same day. An incredible podcast about his Yeezus album wrapped up on Spotify. So I'll spend a few minutes on that during four notable stories of 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do Dinner to Go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA playoffs, specifically Brooklyn star Kevin Durant, because he and his teammates once again ate up the Milwaukee Bucks last night.
Come on.
Woo! Ate up the Bucks last night.
I'm trying to watch like good playoff series
early game last night was not for you.
Awful.
Just once again ate up the Bucks last night, KD did, before this morning finding himself as the subject of another story told by another person. Yesterday, former adult film star Lana Rhodes getting a lot of attention by telling a KD story. Today, it's ESPN's Jay Williams getting a lot of attention by telling a KD story. Folks can't keep KD's name out their mouths.
No, and he doesn't appreciate it.
It seems like everybody has a good Kevin Durant story these days. So Before we get into the latest controversy, let's back up to last night's game because that was wild. Final score in Brooklyn, it was Nets 125, Bucks 86, a 39-point win over the two-time and reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Brooklyn actually led the game by as many as 49 points.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
Already in this postseason, I have deemed two series over that went the other way. Lakers-Suns, and then Anthony Davis got hurt, and that flipped. And then Clippers-Mavericks obviously flipped. So I'm hesitant to say it's over, but
this one feels so much different.
I can see why you might think it's over. And keep in mind, this is happening. They're doing this without James Harden, who is sidelined with a hamstring injury.
Right.
Obviously, his absence matters, or at least it should. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer in his prime, who averaged 24.8 points, 10.9 assists, 8.5 rebounds per game this season. He's awesome. But it appears the Nets don't need him, at least to beat the Bucks, because they are beating the brakes off the Bucks without James Harden, mostly because of the brilliance of Kevin Durant. KD got 32.6 assists last night and destroyed Giannis multiple times in one-on-one situations. This dude, the Greek Freak, is the reigning defensive player of the year. And KD just scored on him and scored on him and scored on him.
Yeah.
Like, crossed him up, hesitation moves, just blew by. You name it, KD did it to this man last night.
Really surprised by that. Because you know, like, you know that it's inevitably, you're set up for a crash course to play against each other, right? If you're Giannis, like, you know you're playing those guys eventually in the playoffs.
Well, you look at the bracket, sure.
He just hadn't shown up yet.
KD's a different deal, man. I remember before his freshman season at Texas, I went down to Austin, spent a couple days with him, and was talking to all of the coaches down there about. I was working on a Kevin Durant story that turned out not to be that great, but you know, I did it. And I was talking to the strength coach, and we're talking about Kevin, and he said, "Oh, did anybody tell you what we've already nicknamed him?" And I said, no, what's his nickname? Because all I've ever heard is Kevin or KD. He's like, no, we nicknamed him WTF, because every time he's in this gym, keep in mind, this is before his freshman year, every time he's in this gym just playing pickup, he does something that makes you go, what the F? His nickname was WTF at Texas, because he was doing things that even a staff that had one pro after another, he just consistently did things that they had never seen other people do. And now he's doing things to Giannis that nobody has done to Giannis. Like, you name it, last night, KD did it to that guy. It was the type of performance that had fellow NBA stars, like everybody from LeBron to Ja, tweeting about it. Just a masterpiece in a total beatdown to give Brooklyn a 2-0 lead in this best-of-seven series. As a result right now, in a Brooklyn or the field proposition, you'd have to lay 130 to take the Nets. They are minus 130 to win the title right now. Even without James Harden, they are the favorites to win this whole thing, which highlights, by the way, something I said about the Lakers last week when the Lakers were eliminated by the Suns, in part because the Lakers only had two stars and one of them got hurt. Like, we were talking about the Lakers' failure to add a third star, maybe Kyle Lowry, at the trade deadline. And what did I tell you was the best part of having three stars? It's not that you necessarily need three stars to win the title. The Lakers did it with just two just last season. You don't necessarily need three stars to win a title. That's not the best thing about having three stars. The best thing about having three stars is that if one of them goes down, you still have two.
Yeah.
The Lakers learned that lesson the hard way last week when Anthony Davis couldn't play, leaving LeBron alone and vulnerable. And then the season is over. Now the Nets are showing the other side of it. They lost James Harden, but it hasn't mattered at all, at least not yet, because they still have two undeniable stars, one of whom, KD, one of whom has scored 61 points in 73 minutes so far in this series, while clearly outplaying the reigning MVP. So KD, I'm assuming, went to bed happy last night, despite Lana Rhoades basically calling him a weirdo on a podcast yesterday. But boy, oh boy, did he wake up angry this morning. Thanks to his friend, or perhaps former friend, Jay Williams. By now, you probably know the gist of the controversy. If not, here's the deal. So Jay Williams is on his show, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, on his show this morning, talking about what KD is doing to Giannis and the Bucks, and he starts trying to explain how KD is taking this matchup personally. And then he proceeds to tell a story about a time Kevin Durant approached him in a club and more or less told him, don't ever, ever again compare Giannis to me as it pertains to our ability to play basketball. Like, as the story goes, Jay Will had called Giannis a combination of Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant, and KD was like, don't ever compare that guy to me. He ain't me. And here's the quote from this morning as Jay Will is retelling the story. He says, quote, so KD comes up to me at the club and says, yo, don't you ever compare me to Giannis again. He's like, nah, don't ever compare that dude to me. Don't do it. And then Jay Will added, quote, I felt that in his voice in that moment, that when this matchup came up, I'm like, ah, this is a proven moment for Kevin to show everybody that Giannis is not on the same page as him. So Jay Will says that on the radio this morning. Quickly, it finds its way to social media, at which point KD sees it and calls it, quote, an effing lie, and added, Jay Williams can never speak for me. And then he added, in a separate tweet, mans will do anything to advance their careers in the media, wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out. All that corny-ass talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumbass S, I don't even talk like that. End of tweet.
Okay.
And so that basically gets us up to date. So Jay Williams said KD said what he said. Giannis is talented, sure. Giannis is a two-time MVP, okay. But Giannis ain't me. Don't compare that guy to me. He ain't me. Jay Williams says KD said that in the club. Kevin Durant says that's a lie. Big Bet Bennett, since you're so good at solving Dateline episodes, let's see if you can solve this. Who's lying? Because one of them's got to be Jay Williams and Kevin Durant.
I don't know why KD would even bother with getting upset with that if he didn't think that it was a lie, is my opinion. I think that maybe some kind of, like, you know, quick little interaction, like it was like, hey, man, don't compare that dude to me or something like that. Or maybe KD's just saying, well, I'm going to say he lied because he broke my trust. I just said that, like, in jest. Like, I wasn't, you know what I mean?
I got you. I think
it's there's a little bit of lying on both sides. I think maybe there was a comment and Jay Williams was like, oh, I remember that time he kind of said something to me about Giannis. I'm going to go on the show with it today because this is like the topic of the day.
Sure.
Is KD versus Giannis. And then Kevin Durant's like, come on, man. I told you that. Like, we were just joking around at the club. You're going to go on your show and like pit me versus Giannis, blah, right, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to come out and bash you. That's what I think. I think it's probably a little truth stretching on both sides.
Anytime you retell a story, even if it's your own story, it's not going to be exactly right. Or, at the very least, probably not going to be exactly the way somebody else who might have been in that same story perceived it.
And I'm guilty of it. Like when you're retelling a story, you're going to, like, kind of exaggerate it a little bit sometimes.
Of course.
Most people do that.
That's storytelling.
Yeah.
If you and I went out tonight, and whatever we got into, we got into. And tomorrow somebody said, Gary, tell me about the night. And then they took you to another room and said, all right, Bennett, tell me about the night. Our stories would be more or less the same, but they wouldn't be identical.
Right.
We would remember things differently. We would experience things differently. We'd focus on different things, probably. So, do I think that Jay Will might have exaggerated a little, made it out to be maybe more than it was? Yeah, perhaps. But do I think Jay Will made up a story? No. Are you crazy?
No, I don't think
so. Who's
going
to go on national television and make up a story about an internationally known athlete who you know will hear it?
Right.
And ain't afraid to pop off on Twitter. You're not making up a story. Like, that happened. To what degree?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
But there was a moment one night in a club or some other setting where Kevin Durant told Jay Will, his friend, man, don't you ever compare me to Giannis. That ain't me. That 100% happened in some form.
Agreed.
Kevin never thought Jason Williams was going to say that on television or on radio.
Right.
And when he saw it, he got pissed because then it turns this into something he doesn't want it to be. Plus, it's just disrespectful on a very surface level toward Giannis. Basically, sure. What Kevin Durant is saying is that guy, you could give him all the MVPs you want. You put me and him on a basketball court, that guy can't do what I can do.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want, like, people say things all the time about other people that they'd rather not, they'd rather that other person not know. That's what this was. Kevin Durant said what he said, and it was some version of what J. Will said this morning on radio. But he never thought J. Will would take it to radio and television.
Right.
That's what this is about.
You know, we're coming off of, like, I think it was last week when Shannon Sharp calls Julio Jones.
Right.
Like, on the, and so I think there's, like, that, you know, kind of heightened, like, oh, so now, you know, KD's thing, oh, so now this dude's going to, like, you know, make center his entire show around me and, like, some little comment. I said, no, I'm not going to let it happen.
Here's the truth. Kevin Durant is lying.
He's definitely lying.
J. Will was out of line.
You think so?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I think so,
you cannot do that. Like, I have, you know, I primarily cover college basketball. I have friends who are coaches who I write about and talk about. And when we talk, it is often like two friends talking as opposed to a reporter and a coach talking. And it is just sort of understood within the context of that relationship. I'm not going to go on radio or television and say what you just said. Like, what if I'm talking to a coach and he goes, oh, you know how they got that deal done. This coach did this, boom, 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 dropped off the bag, bob, boom, and the kid committed, and that's what it is. Well, I wouldn't go on television the next night and say, I was talking to so-and-so yesterday, and he told me.
Right.
Like, it's just understood.
Yeah, they're not going to preface everything with, now, don't say this, don't say that.
Right.
Like, you're just talking.
Right. Kevin Durant and Jay Williams have a relationship, and I think, as much as I like Jay, I feel comfortable saying I think he probably, if not definitely, violated that relationship by going on television and telling a story that Kevin Durant clearly didn't want told. KD thought he was talking to a friend, not a reporter. KD thought he was talking to somebody who wouldn't take the context of that conversation to his radio show in the middle of the playoffs. Let me give you a comparison. Let's pretend there was a media critic here in town writing about radio shows. And he or she is actually a friend of mine. And one day, you know, I'm reading some column, and they're comparing my show to another show that I, accurately or inaccurately, believe was a lesser show. Like, they wrote, the Blah Blah Show is the closest thing to the Gary Parrish show this other station has. So I read that. Then I'm at some event. I see my friend, who's the media critic. And I'm like, yo, I saw what you wrote. Man, don't ever compare that show to my show. That show's good, I guess. I respect it. But come on, that ain't my show. They ain't done the things I've done, accomplished the things I've accomplished. They can't do the things I do. Don't be comparing that show to my show. We ain't the same. Now, is that something I might actually say to a friend? Yeah. Maybe. Probably. But would I want my friend then repeating that for public consumption?
No.
Of course not. And I promise you, that is what happened here. KD said what he said to a friend who happens to work in the media, but never expected the friend to retell that story publicly. So when KD says that what Jay Will said this morning never happened, that's a lie. It did happen in some form. But Jay Williams, for trying to figure out who was in the wrong here, Jay Williams was in the wrong.
Yeah.
You can't go on radio and tell that story. If he didn't know better in advance, I'm confident he probably does right now. Myron Metcalf works for ESPN. You hear him on the station on the weekends. I'm going to talk NBA with him next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right.
The college baseball super regionals are set. 16 teams left trying to win a national championship. Six of them from the SEC. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, LSU. Well, do something we almost never do. We just talk a little bit of college baseball in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here right after 5 o'clock. But right now, works for ESPN. You can read him at ESPN.com. You can hear him right here on this station. National ESPN Radio on the weekends. It's Myron Metcalf. Make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Myron, what are we going to do with the Milwaukee Bucks? This has gone from bad to humiliating and embarrassing after losing by 39 points last night.
Yeah, I don't know if I should watch Game 3, man. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm from Milwaukee. This is 40 years almost for me of seeing this time and time again. It's just frustrating when you see a team come out in game one, James Harden goes down, you feel like the door's open, and then game two just didn't show up. I don't know what you do. I really don't know what you do, and it's just sad to see that this is going to be another year where they end up watching the finals from home.
How much of it is on Giannis? How much of it is on Budenholzer? Is there a flaw to the system because they have a track record now? It's an undeniable pattern of being one thing in the regular season and quite another thing in the postseason.
Yeah, I've always felt good that, like, winning's a habit, you know, and the teams that just find themselves in these situations and know how to overcome, it becomes a habit for them, and they just kind of do it over and over, and they know how to respond to adversity, whereas losing is a habit too in these circumstances. And I think Milwaukee's more accustomed to that. They're accustomed to what happened against the Toronto Raptors 2 years ago and what happened last year in the bubble when they lost to the Miami Heat. And here they are again facing adversity, and they just, you know, don't know how to stand up to it. But to me, you got to give Coach Bud a lot of the blame in this situation. No real adjustments in game two. Why isn't your team fighting and playing with any energy or heart in game two? Like, that to me is your job as a coach in the postseason. You're drawing up plays late in a close game, lineups, but it's also the energy of your team and connecting with them. And I think from about the second quarter on, the Bucks just weren't responding to him, and that's the problem.
Is his job in jeopardy here?
I think he's going to lose his job.
Right.
I mean, I think that's where we're at, right? I mean, to me, you can lose games and people say, you know what, you tried hard, it's fine. That happens in the NBA. But I don't think owners handle embarrassment very well. That was embarrassing. I mean, they were down by 49 points at one time. This is a team that is a contender. Fine, they're not the Nets. They might not even be the Sixers. But they're a contender 3 years in a row, and you're down 49 points in a playoff game, and one of their stars is down. Like, at some point, you got to realize that they're not responding to him. You just signed Giannis to this supermax. And guess what? We all know. At any moment, Giannis could say, hey, everybody, I would love to leave Milwaukee in the snow and go down to Miami. You know what the Bucks would have to do? They'd have to listen to him and trade him. So that supermax means nothing. You cannot waste his talent and waste this opportunity the way that they have. I think he's gone after this series, personally.
It is interesting that you bring that up with Giannis's future, because We are in an era in the NBA where we watched Anthony Davis force his way out of New Orleans. We watched James Harden force his way out of Houston. Whether people like it or not, it is something that happens. Stars dictate often where they play. Now we're watching a super team with just like three guys decide they want to play together, and they're now the overwhelming favorite to win the NBA title in Brooklyn. If you are Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee or Damian Lillard in Portland, I know they both signed their deals long-term and said they wanted to do it there and do it, quote-unquote, the right way, whatever that means. But when you are watching Brooklyn do what it's doing, I would imagine a mindset has to set in where you go on some level, okay, I did want to do it here and build it, but that's clearly not the recipe for success in this league right now. The recipe is doing what those guys did. We need to find our own version of that. Is that possibly where we're headed?
I think that's certainly where we're headed with Giannis, because I don't know how many chances he's going to give the Bucks to surround him with more talent. And you're right. I mean, it's not even just what we're seeing now. Like, what if Kawhi ends up in Miami? Yeah. You go look at New York and you're like, man, they might be a couple guys away from being a serious contender. Trae Young is going to be a guy that I assume NBA teams, you know, NBA stars want to play with, considering how he's playing right now. And that's not even the West. That's just the East, man. So I think if you're Giannis, you got to understand you're going to be in this situation again where you just can't advance because there's just not enough talent around you. And based on the way that they play, they have to be a really good shooting team, and they just haven't been that. And if Giannis is your guy and he's not much of a shooter, you've got to be able to spread the floor, open the floor for him. And they just are doing everything wrong to make the most of his talent. I don't think anything is safe when it comes to Giannis. I don't know if it's another year, 2 years. I don't know when it's going to happen, but at some point he's going to say, my time in Milwaukee has come to an end.
I'm talking to Myron Metcalf. He, of course, works for ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Metcalf by ESPN. You mentioned Trae Young. He has taken probably a heel turn and a star turn in this postseason. Leads Atlanta past the Knicks in the first round. Now he's up 1-0 against the Sixers in this best of seven series. What do you make of what Trae Young and Atlanta are doing right now?
It's just cool to watch, man. I mean, I love his confidence and just how he continues to improve. One thing I always, you know, knew about Trae Young at every level was just how much he loves that pressure. Like, he loves that doubt. And you saw that in high school when I think he averaged like 40 a game. You saw that at Oklahoma. And I think, like, the best version of Trae Young at Oklahoma, he certainly had his slump. But, I mean, that dude was a killer, man. That dude was just a guy who could take over games at any moment. And I think you're seeing that now. And he's like the perfect, I think, star for Atlanta and what they're trying to do there. And I'm just excited to watch him grow, man. Like, this is like a young guards league all of a sudden where there's so much talent coming through the pipeline, and it's going to make the NBA a very fun place.
The second game tonight, because that first game is Hawks-Sixers, tipping off at 6:30 Central. Then we get game one of a best-of-seven series, Clippers-Jazz. The Jazz have already announced Mike Conley will not play. How much will they miss him tonight?
They're going to miss him a ton, because I think anytime you're going up against Kawhi and Paul George and everything that they have with the Clippers, having a guy like Mike Conley, as smart as he is, experience, his talent, you just lose so much. And I love what Donovan Mitchell has done. Clearly one of the top young players in this league. But this, he hasn't done this before, right? This is still new for him. I think having a guy like Mike Conley just balances everything. And I think that is a big loss for them. Obviously, you've got a team in the Clippers who have some momentum. They just knocked off Luka and the Mavericks after they were down. So I think they've got some confidence coming into this series. That's a tough loss for them.
And the only series we haven't touched on yet, it got underway last night, Suns-Nuggets, and incredibly, Denver hasn't missed Jamal Murray yet, but you had to assume at some point that becomes a problem. His absence in last night in Game 1, it seemed to be a problem. They lose 122-105. Chris Paul, 21 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. Is this finally the year, at a really advanced age, all things considered, that Chris Paul is going to find himself, you know, it appears advancing to the Western Conference Finals and maybe all the way to the NBA Finals?
I mean, I kind of hope it's his Elway moment, you know, because I think that would justify a lot of the things that we've already seen from Chris Paul. He just doesn't have that big run. He doesn't have that ring, but for a guy at his age to be doing what he's doing in a young player's league, it's just phenomenal, you know. And I think when he went to Phoenix, no one knew exactly what to expect. They knew he'd be good. He helps everybody. But just the impact he's had on Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton is playing better. Like, he just helps everybody. And I feel like it's wide open for him. And this might be the opportunity, because I think the West is just going to be even more difficult to navigate next year. If all you have to do is beat Denver and then advance from there, and then you'll see what happens in the finals. I think this is the year. If you're Chris Paul, you're like, it's maybe now or never. But I'm just fascinated, man, by what he's doing. It's a bit like Barry Sanders almost, just a guy who's just been great consistently. No ring, no big run. But I think Chris Paul's reminding everybody that he's one of the greats at that position in this league.
I'm wrapping up here with Myra Metcalf from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, we're still several weeks out from the NBA draft, but it will be at the end of July. Most people believe, regardless of the franchise picking, you got to take Cade Cunningham number one. Is it that clear cut for you?
Yeah, man. I just think him being like 6'8" is such a thing. And he, you know, you saw him in high school, man. He had that NBA body.
Yeah.
And just the idea of Cade Cunningham getting stronger, bigger, faster, all of those things in a league that is perfect for him, I think you got to take him number one. Now, from there, it gets more interesting between Mobley and Suggs and all those other guys. But I just think Cade Cunningham surrounded by shooters in the NBA, that could be a scary thing.
I'm with you. That is Myra Metcalf from ESPN. You read him at ESPN.com. You hear him on ESPN Radio. He's on Twitter, at Metcalf by ESPN. Thanks, brother. Always appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you again.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. That's Myra Metcalf from ESPN. When we come back, we have reached the portion of the offseason where we talk about Larry Brown maybe being an assistant on Penny Hardaway's
love
staff.
It.
Love it. Love it. Has anybody given Memphis Radio more content, despite never working in Memphis, than Larry Brown?
I got to think on that for a second. It's close. Despite not living in Memphis.
I mean, outside of, like, you know, national superstars that we're going to talk about, like
Tom Brady
and LeBron James.
No, well, that's connected to a Memphis story.
Yeah, but never,
that never lived here.
Yeah, connected. It's a Memphis. It's a local story. So has anybody ever been the central figure more often in a local story in Memphis without actually working in Memphis?
I don't think so.
Larry Brown might be our guy. So let's talk about him.
I love it.
Let's talk about him next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon. I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation.
Got some breaking news from the NBA. Denver star Nikola Jokic has won the MVP.
40. I think that's right.
I think that's right. He's the MVP. He should win the award this season.
Yes.
He was the 41st pick in the 2014 NBA draft, which makes him the lowest draft pick in NBA history to ever win MVP. And it also means that we've now had an international player win MVP for three consecutive years. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis did it back-to-back.
Oh, Giannis did it back-to-back.
So Giannis did it back-to-back. Nikola Jokic this year, and the next year it'll be Luka.
That's probably true.
The Americans are never going to get the MVP award back in the NBA. It's over for us, Bennett.
I think it is. Do you have any qualms about it not being Chris Paul? I know he was kind of the other name that was really thrown out there.
No. If you want to put together a list of best five candidates, best 10 candidates, then we could put Chris Paul on it somewhere. But if you can only pick one player, who should be the MVP of the 2020-21 regular season, the correct answer is Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, if you take him off that team, that's not a – I mean, they might still be a decent team, but they ain't that team.
No.
Not even close.
And just as impressively, you could take Jamal Murray off that team, and he kept it
– Yep.
He kept it moving. You know, they still closed the regular season fine. They won a playoff series. I don't think they're going to win this series, but – you know, you lose your second best player and you still get to the Western Conference semifinals at the very least. That's what he did. Like, it just sort of added to his MVP resume. And I know it's a regular season award, so like let's stop it at the end of the regular season. But in the regular season, there's a lot of data that suggests, in fact, insists that's the guy. So I don't know that the right guy wins the award every year, but I do think the right guy won the award this season. Nikola Jokic, the breaking news out of the NBA, has been named MVP of the NBA, former 41st pick. It makes it the lowest pick to ever be the NBA's most valuable player. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
It's here, Big Bet Bennett.
Yep.
Time has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Time to talk about Larry Brown on Memphis Radio.
Oh, I miss it. It's been a long time coming.
It's a tradition unlike any other. We were wondering in the previous segment if any human alive or dead has ever been the centerpiece of a quote-unquote local story in Memphis without ever actually working in Memphis than Larry Brown. And I think the answer is no.
I really do. I mean, I was trying to think about this during the break. Like, you know, big stories have obviously been like conference realignment, but that's not one person. Like,
no,
you know, one, the Big 12.
Give me a name.
Yeah, we don't have a name to attach to that.
Larry Brown is that name. And so I heard Jason and John talking about it earlier today. Giannotto and Jeffrey talking about it earlier today with the speculation being that maybe, just maybe, Larry Brown finally will join Penny Hardaway's staff. So I guess the question is, what do you think? Should they do it? And I'll keep it simple. If you can hire Larry Brown, you should probably hire Larry Brown.
I think so, too.
Now, I want to be clear. I haven't talked to Larry in years now. Texted with him, seen him, nothing.
He's been in Italy, right?
I don't know where he's been.
He's been overseas coaching. I know that.
He's 80 years old.
Yeah.
Now, you know.
I mean, so is Harrison Ford. He's about to be in Indiana Jones 5.
That dude wrecks airplanes all the time.
That's true. He does wreck airplanes.
All the time. Like, one of my friends is friends with his son. And so, like, it was really – I felt bad because, you know, she grew up with him in L.A. And she was, like, always at – you know, it was like I'm at Harrison Ford's house. It was, like, not a big deal. And so, like, I remember when that happened, I'm sort of, like, clowning on the idea that Harrison Ford crashed another plane. And I was like, ah, that's, that, you know, that probably was a scary thing for her. Like, it's her friend's dad.
Yeah.
It's not just Indiana Jones. It's her friend's dad. But that dude, okay, just because he's eight, your Harrison Ford is 80 years old doesn't really help your argument at all.
I think that's true.
He's crashing planes.
He's actually
planes.
78.
He's crashing planes all the time. So.
Larry Brown.
I don't like. I'm trying to say this as nicely as I can say it. You know, what does 80-year-old Larry Brown, you know, what can he bring to the table? If 80-year-old Larry Brown is the same thing as 75-year-old Larry Brown, let's go. I'm happy to do it. But if 80-year-old Larry Brown is, you know, that's well past retirement age. There ain't a whole lot of 80-year-olds working in college basketball. In fact, I'm not sure there's a 80-year-old working in college basketball. So that's the first thing I'd need to know. Like, okay, can, like, in theory, like, the idea of Larry Brown is great, but, like, you know, is 80-year-old Larry Brown actually helpful to you? I'd let other people make that decision. I have no way of knowing from where I'm sitting. But let's, for the sake of the conversation, say, dude, Larry has held it together incredibly for an 80-year-old. He is 80, but boy, you wouldn't know it by talking to him. Boy, you wouldn't know it by being in the gym with him. For the sake of the conversation, let's assume that is the case. I don't know that it is, but let's assume that it is. Then, and he wants to work for you. Should you hire him? Yes, why not? Why wouldn't you hire him? Who else are you hiring? I mean, we do this every offseason. Who else are you hiring? Like, I thought you should have hired him the first time around. When Penny first got the job and wanted to hire him, I thought they should have hired him then. And it's wild to look back on it and think about the rationalization for not hiring him. Because, as the story goes, Penny wanted to do it. The administration didn't want him to do it. They, like, actually stopped him from doing it. And the idea behind it was, Larry might be an incredible basketball coach, because he is, and an incredible basketball mind, because he is, but boy, one way or another, every time he's on a college campus, things go the wrong way. Mm-hmm. It's a pattern. He wins, and then it blows up. They have NCAA issues. He wins, and then it blows up with NCAA issues, and we need to protect Penny from himself. You know, we don't need Penny to invite this thing on the campus that has consistently caused NCAA issues on a campus. We've got to protect Penny from himself. This is where an administration is supposed to step in, which in general, I kind of understood, even if I disagreed. Or I definitely understood, even if I disagreed. But if the reason you can't hire Larry Brown is because you're going to protect Penny Hardaway from himself, and then you allow him to play James Wiseman in defiance of the NCAA, what are we even doing?
That's a good point.
Like, I doubt Larry Brown would have got you in the same kind of trouble
that you already got yourself
in. In anyway. So I'm all for protecting your first-time head coach from himself if you're actually going to do it. But don't do it over here with Larry Brown and then say, yeah, go play James Wiseman. Screw the NCAA. Because now here you are. But whatever. I feel like we've talked about that before.
We have. It's been a long time. We're rehashing old bad vibes.
So if you can, if Larry Brown wants your job and you can have Larry Brown in the gym with you, and it is Hall of Fame, world class, incredibly accomplished, brilliant basketball mind Larry Brown, then what's the downside of that? I'm all for it.
Me too.
So we'll see. You know, there's certainly speculation, but there has been speculation, I think, literally every time there's been an opening on staff. Okay, so, but this is the latest speculation, so have fun with it.
Story number two.
So I found myself up way too late last night.
I noticed. You were getting into some West Coast NCAA baseball.
LSU in Oregon late last night.
Uh-huh.
And I have found myself attracted to college baseball over the past few weeks. Not because I follow it closely, because I don't. I don't know any of the players, like any of them, except for like the big names who are going to be like number one pick in the draft, number two pick in the draft, like the two starting pitchers at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
But I am intrigued by the way college baseball has really become something.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the rise of ESPN Plus subscriptions, because they have a big deal with with NCAA baseball. And, like, I'm with you. It seems like it has just become something way bigger than it was a couple years ago. And I think it's just because people have more access to watch the games on TV.
I mean, I just remember, like, even when I was in high school, like, Mississippi State baseball was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Like, Duty Noble, and, like, I'd go to games down there and went to camps down there. And that always felt like a big deal. But now it feels like everything's a big deal. At Arkansas, it's an incredible scene.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, it's an incredible scene. At Ole Miss, it's an incredible scene. At LSU, Vanderbilt, like, these crowds are wild.
Yeah.
And it just looks like a blast. And so when the basketball game was over last night, I saw people starting to tweet about LSU Oregon, like, this game's wild. I'm like, all right, I'm sitting here. I'll turn this on. And I found myself locked into it. You know, my wife at some point was like, you know, finally got into bed. She was like, why are you coming to bed so late? I'm like, I was watching college baseball. She was like, of course you were watching college baseball. So now the super regionals are set. And those are best of three series. There's eight series, 16 teams left, and six of the teams are from the SEC. And so I know we have listeners. I've got friends who are, you know, big Ole Miss baseball fans or big Arkansas baseball fans or big Mississippi State baseball fans. And so it really should make for a fun weekend. I mean, there is a scenario where Arkansas, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and either Tennessee or LSU could advance to the College World Series. There is a scenario. I'm not predicting it because I don't know anything about it. But there's a scenario where you could have five SEC teams in the College World Series. There's only eight teams in the College World Series. Five of them could theoretically come from the SEC. And we could get two schools from the state of Tennessee and two schools from the state of Mississippi. So it'll be all over television, and I'm assuming social media this weekend. I think the series gets started on Friday, and so I'm looking forward to it. Like, I don't know that I'll live and die with every pitch, but in a time of the year where NBA playoffs will get the overwhelming majority of the attention, college baseball has carved out, at the very least, a pretty significant niche audience, if those two words don't contradict each other. There seems to be a real interest in college baseball, if not throughout this country, certainly in this part of the country. So good luck to all of those regional schools. It'd be cool to see two Mississippi schools and two Tennessee schools, plus the University of Arkansas, all in the College World Series. Again, at this moment, it's possible.
Story number three.
Oh, I got bad news connected to Memphis rapper Pooh Shiesty.
What did Pooh do?
I can't tell you what Pooh did.
Okay.
But I can tell you what Pooh allegedly did.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, we'll start with the headline from this afternoon. He has been arrested over a shooting incident that went down at a Miami club late last month. It was on May 30th, around 4 a.m.
Nothing good ever happens.
I hate it when people say that. Lots of good things happen.
Around 4?
I can tell you some good things that happened to me around
really?
4 a.m.
Yeah. Maybe like around 2.
I got some stories, boy. I can tell you some good ones about 4 a.m. I understand, like, you know, I would tell my sons the same thing. Like, nothing good happens after midnight in the spirit of trying to, you know, keep them on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm being honest, that's not true. Lots of good things happen after midnight.
Yeah.
Some of the best things that ever happened to me happened after midnight.
Me too.
You know? So
it's true. It's just true.
But how about this? Let's add on to that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good ever happens at 4 a.m. when you're at a club fighting with a security guard and holding a gun. Is that fair?
That's very fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'll accept that as a fact. Nothing good ever happens at 4 a.m. when you're at a club fighting with a security guard and holding a gun. I wish somebody would have told that to Pooh Shiesty. So he's at the club,
mm-hmm.
and he is apparently getting escorted out of the club, as the police report indicates. And there's some thought that he dropped some money, or somebody tried to grab some money from him. But he denies that. But either way, there was an argument between security and Pooh Shiesty about money. It was something about money. That's what the police report says. And at some point, Pooh Shiesty pulls out a gun.
Oh, no.
And he fires a shot into the ground. Presumably, just to try to scare people, but not actually to shoot somebody. Because you have to know, I don't care how hard you are, you got to know deep down somewhere, even at 4 in the morning, you can't just shoot a security guard at a club. Like, that's not going to work out for you.
No.
There's too many witnesses. There's probably cameras everywhere. Like, that ain't something you're getting away with. So I'm assuming he probably tried to pull out a gun and fire a shot into the ground. And boy, it would have been much better if he'd have just fired a shot into the ground. Instead, he fired a shot into a security guard, right into his ankle.
Oh, no.
And so he's now been charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. That's a felony. Is there any way out of this, Big Bad Bennett?
I mean, if the security guard, if there's like video of him shooting the security guard, I don't know.
Like if the
I would assume there's a lot of cameras in that club.
It was right outside the club.
So there's probably a camera right on the door.
I would assume so.
And the security guard's usually standing right at the door.
It seems like your lawyer's going to have to get in there and negotiate a plea for you.
It's going to be a tough one. You better hope it's kind of grainy down there, like near his ankles.
This
you can't make out what's going on.
Doesn't really seem like the type of case you beat as much as it's the type of case you hope for a best case scenario while pleading guilty to a felony or hopefully a lesser charge. So Hate to see it. Yeah. Young man was having an incredible, successful run. Just one of many. Like, Memphis rappers are like, we like to call ourselves a basketball city. Like, look at all the basketball talent that comes out of Memphis. We're a rap city.
No, it's like a renaissance now.
We're a rap city.
Yeah. No question. Some of the biggest out of Memphis right now.
It's incredible.
Yep.
We got more millionaire rappers than we got millionaire basketball players.
I mean, we got Moneybagg escorting Floyd Mayweather to the ring in that huge fight on Sunday.
What are you telling me?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And Pooh Shiesty was right there with him, making big money.
Now he's in trouble.
And now he's facing a felony charge.
Come on.
You cannot shoot a security guard in the ankle, bro.
You really can't.
You just can't do it. You're not going to get away with that. At best, you got to, like, if you're really fired up to that degree, you got to get one of your boys to shoot a security guard in the ankle. But you can't be the one doing it.
No.
Pooh Shiesty can't pull the trigger. Why did he pull that trigger?
I don't know. He's going to regret that one.
He's definitely going to regret that one. I wish him luck, though.
Yeah.
Story number four.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.